All right, on today's podcast, Devin and I, my name is Luke, his name is Devin, will be power ranking the Eastern Conference, starting from number 15 and going all the way to number 1, the Chicago Bulls. Just kidding. It's a good way to kind of preview the season, talking about just the Eastern Conference, going through each team, talking about what their expectations would be this year. And the Western Conference one will be coming out soon also. So thanks for listening. Let's go ahead and get started.
Still good.
All right. It is still fun. Welcome back to it. Today we will discuss the Eastern Conference from 15 to 1.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit less fun than the West. We'll give that away right now. The teams are not quite as good, spoiler alert. But it is interesting to go through each team and kind of give some thoughts on their season upcoming. So.
Yeah, now you common listener, or you frequent listeners out there,
don't do it.
May be wondering, why are we going over the East and West again, even though two podcasts ago we went over the East and West? Well, then we were grading off seasons, kind of talking about what they did to get better or to get worse in order to position themselves better for this coming season. Now we've had a few weeks to like study it, get into it more, see a couple more moves, and now we're able to kind of really preview the season as we get closer and see what these teams are really made of.
There's no more looking back.
Yes.
There's only looking forward.
Yeah, there you go.
Only I thought looking when I heard something about past listeners, I thought there was going to be steak reference coming up.
Well, I was going to
let you know that it's been...
I just wanted to let you know.
You overused it. I think it's done now.
I want to let you know. The stakes are high this year for some of these teams.
That's fair. Okay, you can starting use a different kind of steak, I think.
With number 15, the Atlanta Hawks. The
stakes are not at all high.
Yes. Okay, the stakes are very high for Travis Schlenk, the recent GM.
Okay.
Traded away the number 3 pick, which eventually became Luka Doncic, for Atlanta, for the Trae Young.
Yeah.
The Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've talked about it before. That's probably a huge mistake.
Trae Young is a high-ceiling player. Okay, it's a mistake. You. It's fair that Trae Young does have a high ceiling. I'm not going to call him the next Steph Curry, but I understand where the comparisons are coming from. He's a guy that we've seen score at a high level and pass at a high level in college. But he's also a very low-floor player who could end up being a bust. While Luka Doncic is already coming in as the MVP of the second-best league in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So worst-case scenario, we've already seen that he can be, you know, a role player in the NBA.
Yeah. And I think that Travis Schlenk, you know, we saw him draft young Kevin Huerter and Omari Spellman, kind of going for that, that Warriors light, kind of going with those archetypes of the stars that they have over in Oakland. Mm-hmm. Soon to be the Chase Center, in case you were wondering.
Oh, that.
Yeah, and I think I have them 15 just because I think they're going to suck. I mean,
so every team,
a lot of young players
traded
away their best player, right?
I would say so. Yeah,
maybe Bazemore.
So. One of those two.
Either way.
Every team that we go through, we should mention, are they trying to win or not? Because that is a new thing in the NBA. Is oftentimes, a good amount of the league doesn't even want to win.
Right.
The Hawks do have their own pick, right?
I do believe so, yes.
Okay.
Well, no, because they traded... No, yeah, you're right. Wait.
Yeah, they traded down.
Yes, they traded down and they got the Mavs.
Right, so they have their pick and the Mavs. So every team, you want to go through this little criteria? Every team will go over, are they trying to win? Who's their best player? Who's their best prospect, their best future player?
Yep.
The X-Factor, glue guy. And
great show.
Yeah, biggest disappointment. And biggest surprise.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and go. I have the depth charts pulled up too. If we want to look at those, so,
I think right now easily their best player is Kent Bazemore. I think is funny about it though is I don't really think he's going to be on the team come training camp.
Think they're going to trade him?
I do think so.
If they can, or, I mean, he's got a big salary.
Maybe by the trade deadline. Yeah, there
you
go.
He does have a tough salary to trade, but if you can find like Ryan Anderson type deal, like you said, I think that'd be ideal.
Please Lord,
get something back with it. Dwayne Dedmon also in contention for the best player.
Somehow.
Jeremy Lin.
Gosh.
Probably not in contention, but you know your team is
so
sorry
crazy.
When
yeah.
Jeremy Lin's in contention for that.
Yeah. Best prospect, I think, is pretty obvious to be Trae Young,
right?
It has
to be Trae Young.
Just because of the ceiling.
I mean, John Collins looked good last year, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's got any chance to be a future all-star, and Trae Young does, just from upside.
Yes, I agree.
The X Factor, as far as...
I think it is John Collins. Well,
okay, that's fair.
I guess it's tough. It could be Trae Young again, but for the sake of not having redundancy, I'm going to go with John Collins. Mm-hmm. You know, a four, almost five. Not great range, but he was great in summer league. Like someone, yeah. Like I love his player archetype. The problem is athletic. I feel like the league isn't quite ready for him to play center yet.
I agree. And I think we should kind of give that a caveat again that it probably is not in the best interest to win this year.
Right.
If I was the GM, I would just give a bunch of minutes to my young guys, give Young, Herder,
yeah.
Collins, maybe Spellman and Deadman and Prince a lot of minutes.
I would only try and beat the Mavs. I would not try to beat it, just to get their better
And then pick. If you win, 30 games or 35 games, that's fine. But I wouldn't try and win by playing the starters
who are older. I think there's a really good chance that they could end up having someone really good in the draft next year if they
stay bad. For sure. And I think it's not a great draft, but
right.
a top five pick is always going to be
like imagine let's say things go right, which would be going wrong in a league wide sense, and they get to pair like RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish.
Oh man, yeah,
at the two. Oh, it would just be
nice. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Let's just go off your list because they're pretty close anyway.
Yeah, we pretty much have the same notes.
At 14 and 13, we have the Magic and the Knicks. Devin has the Knicks 14. I have the Magic worse. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But let's look at the Knicks roster here.
Sure. Oh, and by the way, the only reason I have the Knicks lower is just because Porzingis will be not.
We don't know playing for when he's going to play, if you will.
Because it was close.
Oh, Bias home to center. Cubs lead 3-1. Cubs are figuring it out. All right.
Tough.
I love the Cubs. New York Knicks.
Best player. Let's just start. Let's start with that.
Calling Porzingis. Obviously, he's the best player if he's included. But if not, it's probably Cantor. Or is it Hardaway?
Wow, that's crazy. I just realized I have no idea. Like, it's not Frank the Tank.
No.
It's not Knox.
It's probably Hardaway, Lee, or Cantor.
It's probably Hardaway, I would think.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, he's going to be your lead scorer, your go-to guy, and he's going to be leading the team.
He'll have to be.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't have a choice. Good point. Best young prospect is still Porzingis to me, though.
Kevin Knox is younger, but...
Though, I think we've said every podcast, we've been singing the praises of Kevin Knox for a while.
We had that one.
Yep.
I'm not going to act like the Knicks are one of the big up-and-coming teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I do want to just point out these six guys are not a bad core.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Trey Burke, Frank Ntilikina. I think the N is technically silent. I think it's Frank Ntilikina.
Okay.
Emmanuel Mudiay, three guards there. Two will have to stay probably, or one. And then obviously Porzingis, Kevin Knox, and Mitchell Robinson is a high upside guy that I like too.
Mm-hmm. Didn't go to college. He was a steal.
Yeah, absolutely. Second round, right?
I can't remember.
Honestly. I think it was mid-late second round. The X Factor?
I mean, for this year, it's probably Knox or Ntilikina. I think I would go with Ntilikina because I think Kevin Knox is going to take a while. He's a rookie. Ntilikina, I think, has a high offensive and defensive upside.
Especially defensive,
I also think, by the way, I think Emmanuel Mudiay, I don't think he'll be on the team by the end of the year. I think he's just – I don't think he's good at all.
That's possible.
Horrible shooter, bad advanced offensive stats, whatever. Like,
and the Knicks,
every way you look at him, he's not
good. The Knicks do have their pick again this year, right?
Yes.
So they can go ahead and they can go ahead and lose and tank again. And if Porzingis is hurt, they just might. And
then you can get a good win. The only thing that stinks for me, though, is that is a year – of Porzingis under contract that is going to be wasted.
Right, but that does suck until he gets that free agency in 4 years in, which is summer.
We ranked him number 3 on the power ranking or power forward rankings. Or
I think
2?
So. I'll have to check mine.
Maybe number 1 even. I don't remember.
Well, Davis was 1.
Yes,
He was definitely up there. So yeah, definitely the kind of guy that is somebody you can build around. And I think in the end, do you think that it would be Knox at the 4, Porzingis at the 5?
I do.
Me too. I think
especially with the ACL problems, I think you have to play Porzingis at the 5 as much as you can.
We had him second at power forward.
Okay.
Ahead of Aldridge and Draymond and Love, I think is fair, right?
Right. I think I had Aldridge ahead, but either way, I mean, it's close.
Should we keep moving?
Yeah, let's keep moving on to the Orlando Magic.
It
was a good try. Orlando Magic.
They just want to have a whole bunch of power forwards. It's their plan.
Long dudes.
Just a whole bunch of 3s, 4s, and 5s. They're going to make John Isaac be the shooting guard eventually. They keep moving these guys down. I do like Bamba, Gordon, and Isaac as three guys. But
I love John
Isaac. I kind of only like two of them at a time.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No, yeah, that's fair. I think Jonathan Isaac, I think we're going to be surprised. Mm-hmm. I think he can play the three pretty well. He's slender. He's quick.
But you might as well put that kind of guy at a 4 or 5 in today's league, you know?
I mean, he's doing what Boston is trying to do with the whole just play 5 small forwards.
Right.
But then they're doing it like, okay, let's play 5 power
forwards. Right. I like Bamba.
Love Bob.
Wish he would have fallen one more pick to the Bulls, but that's all right. Carter's good
I can't
too.
Remember who said it. It was probably Dunked On because that's who I listen to most primarily when it comes to podcasts. Someone there, probably Danny LaRue or Nate Duncan, maybe Gus. Bamba is only as good as his starting point guard. That is offensively, I should say.
Okay.
It's really important that they get some guard.
Like a Capella thing.
In a trade. Yeah, right. Like Capella, I mean, Capella, I think now is to the point where like he doesn't always need a great guard, but he's...
Offensively, I think that's...
Offensively, he's...
He rolls. It's kind of his job. Yes. Yeah. Orlando, let me bring them up here real quick. Sure. They do have their own pick, I think, right? Yeah, yes. They do. So, are they tanking? What are they going to do? Are they going to try to draft a point guard in this draft, get Romeo Langford?
It would be interesting to see Romeo Langford there because I'm a big Romeo Langford stan. But either way, they just need guards in general. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they move Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac. One of the two. I think they keep Bamba
probably,
for sure.
Gordon's probably the one. They just gave him that big contract. I don't know who wants to take that on at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he's worth his contract. But either way, somehow they need to move for point
guard.
Depends
on the team and their situation.
If they package their pick, they might be able to get a pretty good young point guard. I don't know.
Does Vooch have any value?
Almost zero.
I don't think anybody wants that kind of center anymore, do they?
He's worse than Jonas Valanciunas, and Valanciunas mm-hmm. is untradeable as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. The Magic are probably, even though they're slightly better than the Knicks and the Hawks this year, I think they're probably the saddest team in the league.
It's a tough spot. It's a
better the Kings, spot. I guess.
They do have three guys that I like that are young, though, and Fournier I don't hate. So there's something to build on there, for sure.
It's just hard to look at them in an offensive league and think that they're going to be able to win games.
For sure. So two more teams in our bottom tier here. Brooklyn Nets, we have at number 12, both of us.
DeMar Carroll, one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, okay, sure. That was iconic when that rant happened that you did. I don't think any of our modern listeners
remember the Stone Age. No one knows where to find that.
No, except us. Yes. Who's their best player? Is it still D'Angelo Russell?
No, I don't think D'Angelo Russell is close. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is considerably better than him.
Because Russell was supposed to be the young up-and-coming guy. He was the number 2 overall pick. And then he honestly has not been that good in the last couple years in Brooklyn.
Defensively awful. Offensively, they've been bad as well.
Not
with him
good
on
enough.
The floor, they are 8 points worse per 100 possessions, which is significant.
You have to score really well to make up for that kind of defense, and he just has not been able to do it.
Yeah. Now, we should let it be known that he has dealt with injury problems, but even when he's been healthy.
Maybe it's the ice in his veins that gives him the injuries. It doesn't seem like it's really a healthy thing to have.
His muscles just get really tight.
It just gets frozen as he's trying to run.
I have that often at the co-rec.
It definitely doesn't sound like having actual ice instead of blood is really a smart strategy for an athlete. Maybe LeBron and his medical staff can help with that.
I would say we've never seen it done before, but when it happens.
It's pretty cool.
It's going to be cool.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen Game of Thrones, but winter is coming.
Oh, Lord, Game of Thrones. Just saw that throne in my dorm building.
That was whack.
So, Dinwiddie's the best player? Better than Carroll, Allen? Yeah, I'd say so, too.
I think Jared Allen has a high upside, though. I'm very excited to see what he can do. As soon as he shaves that afro off and gets a new facial
and the mustache
hair,
long, it doesn't look like he's from the 70s anymore.
I think he could be a Capella light, just great roller, great defender, can switch well onto the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I think that's his upside.
Sure.
I'm excited for him. I thought he was a great pick. I also think another great point that Nate Duncan made, and I hate that I always bring up his points, but I think to myself, and I wanted to share this anyway, but like I always think to myself a take, and I think to myself, that's too hot of a take. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And then
I go listen to these guys and like Danny and Nate and all, like all their guests and be like, oh, they're supposed to be like the smartest guys in the industry, and they just said that exact same thing. So maybe I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I understand that.
But what I wanted to get at is six through 10, they probably have the best guys, like the best 6 through 10 rotation in the league. You've got Carroll, LeVert, you've got Jared Allen.
Harris.
Probably is actually going to start for them now. Yes, Harris.
Davis. Ed Davis, Kenneth Fareed.
Ed Davis.
Jared Dudley.
Yep, and they have great guys on the back.
For sure.
But they probably have one of the worst starting fives in the
probably
league.
Probably the worst. Yeah, they don't have anybody that I really feel like is a good go-to guy.
Right.
Who is their up-and-coming young guy? Is it Allen? Is he the best one?
It's Allen. It's LeVert. It's like they...
Nobody they can build around, though.
Someone they can really build around.
They don't have one yet.
They've got their pick. That's what they've got to build around.
Yeah. They hope that one ends up being high. So are they tanking? I mean, tanking is a pretty subjective, arbitrary word, too, mm-hmm. because It's not like they're going to be the Sixers in the process era actively trying to lose. But
I don't think they'd tank. The trades that they made this summer, like,
yeah,
were for picks, they've obviously, better, most of them. But, like, they got significantly better
this year. They feel like they can... There's good enough drafters.
Oh, Alan Crabb is also in that group in the back.
Oh, yeah. I just forgot about that. They feel like they're smart enough drafters that if they end up at 9 instead of 6, they can still get a good player.
Good,
right? Yeah, which seems like reasonable to me now that they finally have a couple more reasons to keep the fan base
involved. I think they have a good opportunity to make a good trade at the deadline, mm-hmm. too, for someone.
Yeah.
And they also are going to have quite a bit of space next year that they can, if Jimmy Butler and Kyrie want to go to New York...
Like, you keep saying they're going to go to Brooklyn. I don't see it happening. But
well, I just think that their front office is so smart and so advanced and so ahead of mm-hmm. the game compared to probably 20 other teams.
Probably
and that
true.
Includes New York.
Oh, for sure.
To where would you rather – who's the better situation?
Oh, well, the Brooklyn obviously has a better front office. Exactly. But I believe it when I see it as far as
– no, yeah, I know. I just
– And Porzingis is a big appeal too.
Right, yeah. That's a good point. And Knox.
That'd be quite the big three with Knox, yeah.
Yeah.
So going out of Chicago?
Yeah.
You can tell me who the best player is because I don't really know.
I don't either. That's all I've got.
Is it either... Right, it's,
thank you for
I'm
listening.
I'm pretty sure it's either Parker or Markkanen.
Yeah.
Or maybe Levine or Dunn or Lopez or Portis or Carter, one of those seven.
Or Nick, Campaign.
Nick, who's the best player on the Bulls?
I'd say Markkanen.
Markkanen's definitely the piece. By the way, Nick's here. This is Nick Walsh. Welcome.
Daniel's also in the room. I think he's doing chem homework.
Our Ish Smith consultant, Daniel Van Clay, is here. Yeah, Markkanen is obviously the piece to build around in the future, which is why I consider him the guy.
Right.
But I think Parker might actually be better.
Yeah.
Given we are post ACL again, so it's really hard to say for sure.
Offensively, he's just.
But Parker's the guy that's actually proven himself to be a really good NBA player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At least a pretty good NBA player.
Yeah. I mean, his defensive tools, I would say he has a defensive potential he just probably will never fill out.
Oh, yeah, no. His defense is awful, and I don't know why we have him. Yeah. I kind of went on this rant on the summertime pod that we did, but, yeah, I don't exactly understand what the plan is with Parker because either he takes up minutes for Markkanen or he leaves. You know, like, what's the best-case scenario here? You're going to play Levine, Parker, and Markkanen as your 2-3-4 in the modern NBA?
I love idea of just not having signed Parker.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would do a Felicio salary dump over that any day of the week.
I would have retained Mwaba and ran it back, probably, sure. To be completely honest.
Even if Chris Dunn and Wendell Carter Jr. become the best defensive point guard and centers respectively in the NBA, which I'm not saying is going to happen, but even if that were to happen, you still have Levine, Parker, and Markkanen all being basically zeros on the perimeter. And in the league dominated by scoring wings, there's no way you can have those three and hold up defensively. It's just, we went over it, but they got a talented young roster.
I think that the front office, your front office's biggest problem is just like resource management.
Also being bad at their jobs.
You know what? I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But I don't know. I feel like in a vacuum, every single person on that team is like, okay, I could see why they would want, I would see why you want a good scoring wing like Levine.
Yeah, but you got to build together as a team and play some defense.
Just because he's the best player at the position and most easily available, like mm-hmm. equalizing those both, doesn't mean it's a smart move. Like, what if the smartest move, instead of signing a high upside guy in Jabari Parker, was to re-sign David Nwaba and go after another defensive-minded three because you already have offensive guys.
And given Parker is a 1+1 deal, so I'm not saying... Right. But it's a stupid long-term move because, of course, you can always kick the can down the road. And if Jimmy wants to come back, if Kyrie wants to sign, you can do that. But
are you afraid of Parker kind of inhibiting Markkanen and Carter's development?
And Levine? Yeah, all those guys. If he takes a lot of shots, then it definitely could. I mean, it's not like a huge worry for me, but it's definitely another reason on the con list, you know? So we're going to take a break after the Bulls here. You got anything else on him?
No, I mean, they're kind of...
They're going to try and win.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you could see them being, like, having a bad pick.
I could see them making the playoffs, honestly.
Really? Okay.
I don't think there's six... I'm not calling it. I have them 11th for a reason. But to me, there's only six teams that I'm really high on in the East this year.
Yeah.
That I had considered locks in the playoffs. Boston, Toronto, Philly, Indy, Washington, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The Cavs, probably, if Love stays healthy, are in there, too. But after that, I don't really love any of those other teams. And the Bulls could sneak in, but I'm not planning on it.
Do you think that... What's his face? Coach
Hoiberg.
Brett, thank you.
He finally got the team he wants.
Brett, not Brett. Do you think that he's going to do the same thing he did last year where he just throws out horrible lineups to lose games?
That was fun. No, I don't think so. I mean, they're going to try and win. They're probably going to get 30, maybe 35 games. But it's going to be like a team that just can't defend. And there are few circumstances, like last year's Rockets, not this year's Rockets, last year's Rockets, where they kind of throw away defense.
And the 16-17? Yeah, right.
The one before the one we just watched.
Like, they're good enough, but they're not.
Right. We know we're good enough on offense. We don't have to worry about defense quite as much. But the Bulls just aren't good enough offensively to make up for it.
Yeah. They have a ceiling to be, but...
For sure. So the best young guy is Markkanen.
Yep.
After that, it's Carter to me. I really like Carter.
I agree. Carter, I cannot believe how mobile he is.
It's wonderful.
It's amazing. X-Factor?
The X-Factor as far as winning...
Parker?
Maybe. Parker's ACLs. I feel like it's either Dunn or LaVine.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know. LaVine at some point has to make the jump and be a $75 million four-year player. I'm not saying he's going to be one, but the fact that they paid him that much just raised the bar for him to be so high that he really needs to make the jump offensively to actually be a scorer. I mean, he can shoot, and he's athletic, but he can't really pass. He turns the ball over too much. And we'll see if he can make that jump. And Dunn, I feel like his ceiling just isn't high enough for an NBA point guard. And his defense is good. I'm going too long on the Bulls. Defense is good.
No, that's okay.
But at some point, he's got to show us that he can create a little bit, not just pull up and miss mid-range jumpers.
All right. We're not in the predictions too much yet, but I have one prediction question for him this year. Who are the Bulls? Who is Garpax? I love that we call Garpax just one single entity.
Yeah.
Who is Garpax going to regret giving the most money to, or more money to this year? LaVine or Parker?
Parker, once again, the downside is hardly there.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, he doesn't play that well this year and they don't re-sign him.
Okay.
And maybe he gets in the way of the other guys a little bit, but
sure.
Worst case scenario, you're out of him in a year, or worst case, 2 years, unless it's at him again. But LaVine, you're talking, he might hurt your free agency in the future with the money that you already tied up in him. And if he stays to be the guy he is right now, that's a really bad contract that we're talking about for years to come. But
sure.
Kings could have had him, which they wanted him. But, so I'd say LaVine's probably the worst contract. Yeah,
that's where I was at, too. So
should we go ahead and break before we...
Let's shall.
...for the next few teams?
Yes.
All right. All right, now we're going to go through the 6-10 range.
And isn't this conference so depressing?
It's pretty bad. None of these guys are contenders for anything, right? I mean, unless you want to call the sixth team a contender, I feel like there really are only four teams, three teams that have a chance in this conference.
There's only three teams that I look at them like, yeah, they'll win a playoff series.
Right.
And four of them
mathematically doesn't make any sense. But let's go ahead and start things off with my number 10 team. Let's go with yours. We'll just go in your order. At 10, 9, and 8, we both have... Oh, you have the Hornets 7. At 10, 9, 8, 7, we all have Cavs, Pistons, Heat, Hornets in some order. I actually have the Cavs 7th because they have the best player. Them or the Pistons, or maybe Kemba. I don't know. I'm going to talk myself out of it.
But so many guys that are just like lathering.
Those teams are all just so close together. But, so Kevin Love obviously is going to be the guy in Cleveland. Whether or not that's a great thing, he's a guy you can rely on, maybe yet to be seen, but George Hill is a serviceable player who wasn't bad in the finals. JR
boo
isn't that
they're
bad.
Trying to, I don't think he'll start this season
the upgrade,
they're trying to trade him.
Oh really? I think so. Yes. We'll see if somebody wants him with his contract.
It's pretty openly reported, like they're like, we just don't want him.
They upgraded small forward, picking up losing LeBron and replacing him with Jetty Osman. Obviously Korver is still there. And then Tristan Thompson, Fry,
guys
Nance,
like Hood are probably coming back.
Hood and Clarkson. Hood isn't officially signed, but at this point, I don't know who else is going to offer him anything. And they can match it. And then obviously Colin Sexton is the draft pick.
Yeah.
So
like, let's just get that out.
LeBron's all
they
lost.
Player is obviously Chetty.
Yeah, I'd say Sexton.
I would too. I'm just kidding.
I know. I do love Jetty, and it was awesome to see him working out with LeBron, Durant, and Kawhi.
That's one of those things that, like, at the end of next season, they're going to put it down. Some kid on NBA Twitter is going to be like, the greatest things that happened this season, and NBA Twitter is going to be great.
So that was fun.
Best player, Kevin Love. I guess I was projecting too much. I know we weren't talking about predictions, and I guess – I didn't want them to bias what I was doing because we just wanted to look at, like, this is what's going to happen this season. This is who's best right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see any way
that Kevin Love either A, plays 82 games and is able to be effective the whole time, or is on the team.
I think they're going to try and trade with that contract. 5 years.
I honestly think, and you may disagree with me, I think that his one-year deal, the player option at the end, was less valuable than him in this new deal, the 120 for 4 years.
Because he could leave?
Because he could leave and you get him for nothing. Or now sure. At least you have a guy that's going to give you 2 more years of being a really good player. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a great player, but a really good player. And now after that you can trade him mm-hmm. after your run is over.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, he'll be 35 end of that contract. And the way that his body's held up throughout his career, like you kind of mentioned, I don't see him being worth that much through all those 5 years. So if you do make that trade, then you're essentially saying it's going to be a bad contract for the last 2 or 3 years.
Same thing with the Blake Griffin deal. Right. That's why I think this is not a
smart deal for Detroit at all. But
like, okay, look me in the eye and tell me that the Hornets or the Heat wouldn't try to get Kevin Love this season.
If they could, they might.
Exactly. Like,
but I mean, they got to send back Batum or something. Batum or another contract that size. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think it's more tradable than we all think.
Maybe. I still don't like it.
X-Factor is Sexton again, right?
Probably. I mean, we're talking at least the guy with the biggest variance of outcomes. It's probably him. But
Or it could be Kevin Love's health.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one, too. Everybody else, we kind of know what they are at this point.
Yeah.
Anything else on the Cavs? I mean, I have them in the playoffs, but that just depends on Love's health. And I do have a little more confidence in him as number one guy than you do.
Yeah.
I think he can score in a lot more ways than we saw last year with LeBron being in the way. And I like Sexton.
Yeah.
I like George Hill more than a lot of people do, too, which is why I have them sneaking in at 7 or 8. But at this point, it's just that group of 5 or 6.
Yeah. For the listeners that have listened to all of our pods that are up on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Pocket Cast, podcast networks all over the globe, you may remember that I was pretty high on the Cavs. I was like, oh yeah, buy this offseason. Like they did the best with what they could do. Like this is great. I think they can make the playoffs. Slowly, I'm starting to think, all right, they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
I would have blown it up,
but 100%, I could be totally wrong. Like.
I mean, I understand the appeal of staying relevant and being a playoff contender. And I mean, a contender to make the playoffs here, not a real contender. But just thinking logically, this team isn't getting to the second or third round, especially the third round anytime soon, so you might as well blow it up.
I guess what keeps coming back to my mind is, like, this team is the same as it was last year for the most part. I mean, obviously they got better at the 3 position. That's a good improvement.
Uh-huh.
But the whole team was built around LeBron.
Right.
And now the centerpiece for what the team's built around is gone.
Right.
And now
it's a whole different style now.
I mean, now Chetty's probably what, second team All NBA, third team All NBA player, but he's not quite LeBron James.
So we both have the Pistons at number 9.
Yes.
Daniel's thoughts on Ish Smith?
It's pretty good.
All right, so there's our Ish Smith update. Best player, other than Ish Smith, I'd say is Blake Griffin, followed by Drummond. Best young prospect. That's
Luke Kennard.
Is it Luke Kennard? Is it Stanley Johnson? Is he still kind of as young?
I think it's Luke Kennard.
So the rotation
still think he's
here.
Pretty good.
Reggie Jackson. On the wings, you have Bullock, Kennard, Stanley Johnson, Glenn Robinson. They picked up. And then you have Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond. And on the bench is also Ish Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Drafted Kyrie Thomas, who I liked coming into the draft.
Bruce Brown.
And Zaza.
Yeah.
And John Lauer. So
yeah, he's coming back.
And Henry
Allen. He was out all last year, so him being back is nice for them. But,
so they're 1 and 2. They're number 2 guys, the best in this group for sure, with having Drummond and Blake.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of this hinges on Reggie Jackson. He's going to be my X factor.
Who would you rather have, Jackson or Schroeder?
I feel like Schroeder has a little bit more potential. He's a little bit younger. But
I mean, he's an asshole, but he's a little bit less of an asshole.
He's also been a little bit of that. I'd probably lean toward Schroeder.
Yeah, I think so too.
But they're going to need Reggie Jackson to
be good.
Run the offense a little bit better and stay healthy if they're going to be successful at all.
Yeah,
I think Reggie Bullock might make an appearance this year.
He will make appearances.
As one of their steady rotation players, I do think he will be making an appearance.
I'm excited to see him play.
Good point. Daniel's a Pistons fan. So we might have him on sometime and just do a little bit of an interview about Detroit. He knows a lot about the players.
Daniel, are you excited about Avery Bradley this year on the wing?
He's not on the pitch, Dave.
All right.
They just kind of got shut down. Let's go ahead and move ourselves on. Devin had the Heat at 8. I had them at 10. The Heat are tough because they have a lot of guys that I like, but nobody that I really love.
And they have a lot of guys that I really like, just I like them on different teams.
Right. So who is their guy? Like, who's, I mean, is Whiteside still the best player?
Dragic is the best player.
Dragic is, that's right. Dragic is the best player.
Whiteside's boo-boo sauce.
Whiteside, it was weird what happened with him last year, and he's probably not tradable.
Do you remember how good he was against Toronto?
He was incredible, yeah.
And that was the second round of 2016, and then he gets hurt that game seven. That's why they lost.
So,
and then he got the big contract.
Just for the sake of discussion, is there any team that wants a center right now?
The Hornets.
Even if that's good. I mean, the Hornets might
take him. Would trade for him in a salary dump. Probably. That's what I'm saying.
But even if he didn't have the personality issues and all those concerns, I don't think he has any value to a contender anywhere.
I'm really, like, I'm trying to think hard. Like,
Boston?
The Bucks might be able to figure out a Henson deal. Uh-huh.
Maybe Boston just wants that center because they wanted to get Mamba in the draft. Maybe they just want to get a true center to put next to Horford sometimes. I don't know.
Well, I think that's why they got Robertson. So,
oh,
or Williams.
Robert Williams. Yeah, my bad. Robert. My bad. Yeah, probably. And I like him too.
Len Bias of 2018.
Yeah. I like James Johnson.
Love him on the Rockets.
Yeah, you would. Dragic is good. Obviously, I like Tyler Johnson. Dion's going to Dion. Hashtag Waiters Island. Josh Richardson is a good player, but
love Josh Richardson.
Bam, I like too, but he's got to get some playing time at some point.
I think Bam should be starting at the five, and I don't think they should have Whiteside, and that probably would be so, it'd make them so much more like a modern team.
A change of scenery could really give Whiteside a second win. I think
in China,
maybe, but I think the relationship here is really soiled to the extent that I'm not sure there's any coming back.
What are they selling?
They're selling chocolate. So the X Factor, do we have? I mean, is it Whiteside?
Yeah.
Is there any hope for his situation in Miami at all anymore?
Is it Whiteside? I think it's Winslow, personally.
Yeah, what's going to happen with his career? Everyone liked him at 13.
He was supposed to be LeBron James.
Yeah. Everyone loves him in that draft, especially how low he fell.
He
hasn't really come around offensively at any point.
I mean, he plays point guard pretty well. I don't know how much Heat you played last year, but him at the one is actually
really
awesome.
I didn't watch any Heat last year, I'll be honest.
The sad part is his scoring offensive game is so limited.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for you to really create space and work with that.
Right.
I think that as he gets older, I think his jump shot is going to develop more. I'm not saying he's going to be a good shooter this year, but I think he'll be good enough as he improves. The lineup I'm really excited to see is like Winslow, Magruder, Richardson, Dragic, and Bam. Like, just a bunch of just really small guys just running super fast.
I like it. I mean, Winslow is in the fourth season here, in his fourth season of his career. Already going to be 23.
Yeah.
And hopefully he can continue to develop. But at some point here, he's going to hit that wall where it's like, wait, is he that kind of that Chris Dunn wall I was talking about?
Isn't it crazy that draft class has already reached that point where it's like,
insane.
Oh.
That's the first draft class that we were both, like, really hardcore in, you know, when they got drafted. I mean, Dragic averaged 17 points last year, but he was already 32 years old. So, at some point, they're going to have somebody offensively that takes over.
I think, if it wasn't for the whole, you know, the Pat Riley Popovich thing that's going on, like, both teams are, like, they're just giving each other serviceable teams until they retire. If they didn't have to worry about that, wouldn't it be awesome to see Dragic moved to, like, anywhere?
Denver.
Like, Denver would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, okay, what's a good deal there, though? Like, what assets do they have to send back?
Either Harris or Murray. I don't know if those guys are available.
I don't think I would never give
maybe,
them Murray.
Maybe. I mean, Barton's contract is tough now, but one of those backup wings, maybe Trey Lyles has a little bit of value. Hernan Gomez is another guy. Monte Morris. Beasley. A couple of those kind of second-level wings.
Beasley.
Something like that would be cool to see. But, yeah, I don't think Pat Riley wants to do that anytime soon.
Is actually really tough for these organizations. Like, they have to tread water for these guys just to be loyal. And it's crazy how it's a business until it's the front office involved.
All right. You have the Hornets at 7. I had them lower down at 8. Either way, kind of going to sneak into the playoffs.
It's all about health for them this year, right?
They have some of the worst contracts in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'll bring up their payroll here, but...
But they also have one of the best in Kemba.
Yeah, that's actually true. Kemba's really the only guy that I really like. I mean, Batum is good enough, but he's also kind of getting up there. He's been there for quite a while anyway.
Yeah.
I like them to make the playoffs, but really I don't see how you can like them to do anymore, you know?
It's tough because last year they weren't healthy, but even if they were healthy, I don't know how good they would have been.
They're giving Batum $24 million, Biombo $17 million. Marvin Williams, 14. Cody Zeller, 13. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, 13.
Okay.
And those guys are all going to be here past the 2020 season.
There's two things that I really hated about their offseason. Letting go of Trevion Graham. Just because now he's just on a minimum contract in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
That guy's worth more than a minimum. Like, we've talked about this a lot now recently. Like, it's a pet peeve of mine when people go out and spend more than the minimum on centers and then don't pick up wings or mm-hmm. stuff like that. And, like, in a league where everyone says that a defensive-minded, but defensive, you know, like a 3-and-D wing is the most valuable position, why are you letting them go, especially for such a cheap price? And I think that was really tough. I also think that the Tony Parker signing, though he's an improvement on MCW as a backup point guard,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they could have done better there.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there were guys out there, young guys out there that could have gotten. Shabazz Napier?
Yeah.
I would much rather have him than Tony Parker.
For sure, me too.
Especially on the contract.
Who's their young guy that you like? Who's their best up-and-coming player? Is it Monk?
Is
the Bridges? I did not like Monk's rookie year at all.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's got to be Miles Bridges.
It has to be, yeah. I mean, he's so athletic and he's so exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. And he's so ambidextrous. I say that so much, but I love how ambidextrous he is.
Not saying that we can really project his career, or not that we're saying he's going to be great, but he just has the highest ceiling at this point because Monk has been so disappointing.
Mark my words right now. All time, he'll be better than Larry Bird.
All right. I'll place a bet on that one. X Factor.
Mark my words. It's Monk.
Yeah, it's probably Monk.
Having that second scoring guy, someone that they can find so that they know they can safely offload Batum and still compete. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually really important for them. I would say MKG's jump shot, but that's a lost cause at this point. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's Monk.
Yeah, it seems fair. Unless Bridges is going to really contribute a lot.
We should talk about their center position is kind of rough now, too.
I mean, Zeller's really good. Beyond, but I like Billy Hernangómez, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But I'm not sure I like him as a centerpiece.
Right.
I like him as a role player now, and maybe for good.
I think I would have rather had him than his face?
Joakim Noah, Kyle O'Quinn.
Thank you. O'Quinn last year.
Yeah,
I don't know why
I agree.
New York didn't want him. But either way.
He's traded for nothing, really.
Yeah.
Shall we continue?
I suppose we have to, don't we?
Yeah. Washington Wizards. Last team before the break.
Strongly dislike John Wall. I think that's pretty clear. I love Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. I love Otto Porter, but he's overpaid. Mm-hmm. Except he earned his contract. We talked about that last week as well.
Why can't these guys figure it out?
The best player is still Wall, I guess.
So I just have a little thing on the Hornets. In our rankings, John Wall was the 6th best point guard.
You mean the Wizards?
Yeah, what did I say?
Hornets.
Oh.
It's all right.
Wizards. John Wall, 6th best point guard. Beal, 7th best shooting guard. That was cool. That's our speaker turning off. Sorry about that.
Pardon.
Porter, 7th best small forward. So at the 1, 2, and 3, they have a top 7 player at each position. But they still can't. They were the 8th seed last year in a bad conference.
Well, they had half the year.
But that team's never figured it out despite the...
Oh, you should mention Dwight Howard's on the team.
Dwight Howard is on the team. We did not have him in the top 10. He's probably like 12. Anyway, I don't hate Markieff Morris.
I don't hate the Jeff Green signing.
Or Jeff Green.
And I really like the dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just kidding. Kelly Oubre and Satoransky. Like, I actually think they're going to be considerably better this
year
than last year.
Yeah, I don't hate the talent that they have, but they just cannot figure it out. And part of that is off-court chemistry, I think.
I think so.
Getting rid of Gortat may help with that.
Right.
Can we agree on that?
But I also think that Gortat was right in that whole feud.
Yeah, me too.
About John Wall not playing defense.
Great team win, he says, when Wall doesn't play.
Yeah.
It's like obviously trying to call him out.
There were problems in the locker room. Obviously,
sure.
I think Beal did a great job of being professional with that last year, not letting it get to his head, not letting other people
make up
a narrative. I love Bradley Beal.
And I'm not
amazing.
Saying it's going to be fixed because Gortat's gone.
Right.
Because I do think there's some on-the-court issues, too, with Wall and Beal.
Also, they replaced Gortat with Howard. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
supposed to be a personality
fix.
It's going to
fix things, right. So I'm out on them. That's the question. But they are still the 6th best team in the conference.
I'm more in than out, but I don't really know what I mean, their best young player is probably Oubre, but it might be Satoransky, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably Oubre has a higher floor. I did like Satoransky last year.
Yeah, I guess he does have a higher floor, and he's that defensive wing that we were talking about, 3-and-D.
Mm-hmm. And they got Austin Rivers, too.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point.
They are deeper, that's for sure.
They are considerably deeper.
But they doesn't mean they're going to make deeper playoff runs, which means they have a deeper roster, if you know what I mean. So should we go ahead and...
Some may forget that they did almost beat
the Kelly Olynyk led 2017 Celtics.
They were right in but there, but
X factor is Dwight Howard.
That's one of the most depressing things you've ever said on this podcast before.
I know there's someone else.
It might just be chemistry things if they can if Wall and Beal can coexist. Right. At some point, I feel like you have to pick one of those two guys.
And I would pick Beal.
I would too.
Youth and less injuries.
And if you can get a trade for Wall and get some value back, even just some young guys and a pick, I might go for it at this point. I don't know. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Who would want Wall?
I know that's another good question. I'm not saying he's an albatross contract, but he is a guy that's tough to get a trade for.
He's making $153 million. He's not worth it, in my opinion.
It's a tough situation for sure. But yeah, I'd say Howard's probably the X factor. So. All right.
Shall we break it up?
I think we should break.
All right.
All right. Well, we are right on schedule.
Easily the most scheduled podcast we've had.
Oh, for sure. Through two breaks, we're right at 40 minutes. So 20 more minutes, and we'll get to 60, which is our goal for each podcast. So I think we did a great job with that. Let's hope that we don't go too long on these best five.
So, moving on, we've got the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis-led Milwaukee Bucks at number five.
This front office has done one of the worst jobs building around a superstar that I've ever seen.
Well, we weren't really around for the Cavs in like 07.
That's fair. 08, but that I've ever seen. Just start thinking about how incredibly good Giannis is. And I would not.
About it.
And I'll be honest. I've gone on 2K and built myself some nice Giannis rosters. Just get Giannis and get a bunch of wings that can shoot, like a bunch of Chris Middletons, you know, guys like that. But instead, they have. Gosh. I mean, Parker was bad. Parker's out of there now, which is – it was a sunk cost, and it was tough to let go of the number two pick. Two, was he?
Yep.
But
behind Kyrie.
I think it might have been dunked on that actually said this. Yeah. You really have to let the concept of sunk cost play into your NBA GMing. And basically what sunk cost is when making a decision about an asset, you cannot let the past impact your decision. Just because he's the number two pick, it does not change – His value
it's
right
all about
now.
Present value and future value. It's not about past.
So just because he was number two back then, it might hurt a little more to let him go, but it was still a smart decision not to pay that much for him.
Yep.
I don't like Eric Bledsoe with this team at all.
Awful fit.
When they traded for him, I'll be honest, I was kind of wrong about it. I kind of liked it then.
I liked it too. I was like, hey, they have a really good point guard here. But like, Dele doesn't have to start.
Right. In the playoffs, he really hurt them.
Awful.
Did not play any defense. Just got torched over and over again in the pick and roll, and it's going to be tough.
I guess you need a low usage distributor more than you need someone who can score. Like Bledsoe is,
especially with Giannis on the team. Like
Bledsoe is a mix of a good scoring guard and a good distributor, but I feel like you have to go more in the lead.
Right.
So someone who can play great defense and distribute good.
So get that kind of point guard and then get two good wings that can shoot and then Giannis at the four.
What's their solution at the one though?
I don't know. There's really nowhere they can go. And they have a lot of bad contracts too. Henson's a really bad one. Thon Maker is already in a bad contract too, isn't he? Or is he still on his rookie deal?
It's the rookie deal.
Zeller. Yeah. Zeller has a bad contract.
Zeller's not on the team.
One of the centers, Tyler Zeller. He's on the center.
Henson
and Zeller both
expired.
Are. He's on the depth chart.
He's not there anymore. I don't think. Either way, you can look it up. But that 2016 summer really just destroyed them because they had that Plumlee contract, they had the Henson contract. I just can't believe how overpaid centers were, dude. Brook Lopez, I think, is great next to Giannis, someone who can space and defend and rebound. Like, I think he's going to be really, really good next to him. I think that was actually a good signing. Mm-hmm. I think, like, drafting Sterling Brown, great 3-D guy. Like, not great, but you...
DiVincenzo.
Like, yeah, DiVincenzo will be an interesting pickup. But,
least. And Ilya Sova, I like, but not at the contract.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Zeller's there for 1 year, by the way. He expires next year.
Okay, my bad.
But he's not a bad contract, so I was wrong, too. Yeah, just not the kind of team you want around Giannis at all. And I like Brook Lopez, especially for a cheaper deal. I think Boston should have gone for that deal.
Yes, I do too, but Aaron Baines was there already.
True. So I don't love it. I don't love what they have around Giannis, but he could carry him to the second round easily. I could see them winning a 4-5 against Indy.
Yeah, they should have won last year, but they didn't have a coach.
Yeah, that's actually crazy.
That's
actually true.
A really big factor here.
You should put that in there too.
Bud.
And I think it's going to be really good for him.
I think that's my X factor, actually.
Sure.
Bud's coaching.
I like it. I'd say that or Lopez or Bledsoe probably are the ones.
Bledsoe would be a good one, yeah.
Best young player, does Giannis still count?
I don't.
If not, it's got to be DiVincenzo or Brogdon.
I would say young prospect is more what I'm looking at there. So
Brogdon, probably Brogdon, but Brogdon's like, he's like 24, he's like 25. Though. Yeah, because he was the four-year
so
dude.
So it's like Sterling Brown or DiVincenzo for right. me.
Maybe, which is sad.
I guess.
DJ Wilson.
Thon.
Like Thon's like 50. Like, we don't know how old Thon is.
That is a good point.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Super stable medical records, but I think I would take it as word.
He's got a high ceiling.
I think it's for disingenuous to not assume his age is what he says.
It's conceivable for him to be, to still have a high upside, but we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it comes up.
It's tough. Like, it's just, man, it's just really tough. They're just treading water. It reminds me so much of 08, 09, 07.
Yep.
Cavs.
Just wasting Giannis's 4 years before he can go wherever he wants. Is that 2020 summer that Giannis is free agent?
2021, 2022.
And he's not an extension yet?
4 year extension.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he'll be here for a few more years. And he said he wants to be Buck for life, but it would almost be sad to see him be stuck here for life because they've been so bad at getting him the right pieces around him.
Why don't they just bring the right pieces around him?
That's what I would do, but they can't figure that out. Pacers are number four.
Love the old Packers.
I'm into the Pacers. They had an interesting offseason. And now we're looking at a lineup of Collison, Oladipo, Evans, or Bogdanovich at the three?
Bogdanovich and Evans comes off the bench.
Bogdanovich at the three, Thad Young, and then Miles Turner. And
Miles Turner's been putting in work this summer.
He looks nice. A really good bench with Corey Joseph, Tyreek Evans, McDermott, Sabonis, and Kyle Quinn, plus TJ Leaf, Aaron Holiday.
That Kyle Quinn signing was kind of what I've been really harping on. Like, why did you not just retain Glenn Robinson? Why did you not go out and get Trevion Graham? Why did you not go out and get James Ennis? Would have been awesome in Indiana.
Uh-huh. You love James Ennis.
I do. He's on a minimum contract. Like, you really couldn't have him.
And McDermott's contract was too much.
Yeah, like, a good question. Why didn't they use that O'Quinn money, that $5.4 million, to just pay James Ennis? Because he's probably worth about that much money.
Uh-huh.
So, like,
McDermott is 3 years, $22 million. And that's basically, like,
that's tough.
All the contracts on the first night of free agency were way too much. And then after that, all of a sudden, everybody ran out of money, and it was like, oh, the last guys just get minimums. That's kind of what happened.
I guess McDermott is on the same deal as Korver, and they basically shot the same percentage from three last year.
Right.
They're about the same size. Or I guess McDermott's a little bit beefier, about the same height, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's just so tough for me to like look at that contract.
Is Joe Harris a lot worse than McDermott?
I would have easily overpaid Joe Harris.
Right.
Me too. Instead of overpaying McDermott.
But still, I like their team a lot. Will they be in the third in the conference finals?
I think it's possible.
It's conceivable. I still think they're clearly fourth of those four teams in the East, but one injury and they can sneak in.
I think they could beat the Sixers. I think they could beat the Raptors. I don't know if they can beat the Celtics. And can doesn't mean will or should.
Right, I got you.
But I think they can. Like, part of me like wouldn't be insanely surprised if we fast forwarded to June and it was like Warriors Pacers. Like, I wouldn't be absolutely shocked.
I'd be pretty surprised.
But there's three teams that are much higher.
They need one more guy. Oladipo and Turner are great, but they're not championship.
Tyreek Evans. Huh?
They need one more guy.
Yeah.
All right, number three, we both have the Sixers. Yep, we have the same top three in
the
order.
The San Francisco Sixers.
Wait, how does that work out? The Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes.
You're tired.
It's the thing with the whole the Philadelphia Warriors.
Oh, you just switched them? Okay, that works. Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Bob Covington, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, with a bench of Fultz, McConnell, Zaire Smith, who's injured for quite a while.
For the season, probably, just because that's how it works there.
Yeah, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, Amir Johnson, and Jonah Bolden, coming over from Europe, who's going to be good too.
Yes.
They didn't make a whole lot of changes from last year. Some people.
No Rashawn Holmes and no TLC.
Yeah. The bench is a little but you get Smith and Muscala and Chandler, so it's kind of a wash.
And the losing
and Bolden, and you might get Fultz.
Yeah, losing out on Ilyasova again, losing out on Marco Bellinelli, I don't really care about, but losing out on Bielitsa when he went back on that deal, that's a big deal.
There might be there's a little bit of backlash that they didn't get their third guy. It was a fail off season, but I don't think it was. They saved their money, only got 1 year deals. Chandler's expiring. And I think they just kicked the can down the road again, if I can use that term again.
Yeah.
So whether or not they're going to get like a Kawhi next year, I wouldn't bet on it. But Fultz could be the third guy. That's definitely possible. And I think they could find that third guy in free agency down the road.
Yeah. It's...
Man, they still have like two more years until
I'm ecstatic. They lose Simmons. I can't wait to watch them play basketball. Like, yeah, I can't wait to watch Ben Simmons play basketball. It's one of the things I look forward to the most this year.
I hope Fultz becomes good. Legit. I hope that those three are a big three.
I think by legit, like, could he be if he's Avery Bradley, is that good enough? I think it is.
Number one pick? It's not. But, I mean...
Let's talk about the same thing that we talked about just now with giving up on Jabari earlier.
Sure. Well, that's from a GM perspective. I'm just talking about how good his career is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, I want him to be a legit good player. From a team standpoint,
they could be very successful if he's as good as Avery Bradley was in Boston, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think he'll have the defense, or at least he hasn't shown it yet. But he's got to be able to shoot threes. That's going to be the big X factor. So, speaking of X factor, it's false.
Yes.
The best player is Embiid? I think it's Embiid.
Yeah, it's Embiid. The guy's probably at the 11th.
Do we not say the best player in the last couple teams? We kind of missed a few.
For Indiana, Giannis is probably
Oladipo. Obviously, Giannis.
X-Factor is Turner, and best player is Turner, right?
Wait, best player is Oladipo. Oh, young prospect? Yeah, Turner. And Milwaukee, best player is Giannis.
Yeah.
Washington, Beal or Wall.
Yeah, we went over those teams.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
You look a lot like Matt Harms today.
Thanks. My hair's greasy. That's why.
It's pretty Harmy. It's kind of, you know, got that.
I'm a Harms fan.
That kind of
I saw him on campus. The guy's huge. We'll see him in the NBA in 2 years. Best player is Embiid. X Factor is Fultz. And does Fultz still count as the best prospect?
No.
Yeah. Well, Simmons only in his third season in the NBA, so.
I guess he's a prospect. I would go with Fultz, so.
Fultz is the highest ceiling of an unproven young player.
Yeah.
If that's your definition of a prospect. We are running a little bit out of time, so we've got two more teams. The Raptors. Number two. Legit chance to beat Boston?
Yes.
I think so, too. I think these three, any of them could be any of them, and that's fun. I'm picking Boston. I'm saying if I had to pick Boston or the field in the East, what would you say? I'd probably say Boston, but it's close.
Sorry for the dead air. I have just no idea.
They're right around 50% as far as winning, and I feel like the other two are around 25%.
I guess I have to go Boston.
It's pretty even is the point, you know?
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, the corpse of Jonas Valanciunas. Not a bad starting five. And then obviously DeLone Wright or Van Vliet is or OG Anunoby is probably going to be your fifth guy. And I wouldn't hate to see Anunoby at the five, Kawhi at the four.
That would be
DeLone Wright guarding wings. That'd be fun. And I think that Nick Nurse might legitimately throw that out there.
Nick Nurse is a little bit of a crazy guy.
We talk about this a lot on the summer podcast too.
Yes.
But you could throw out some incredible defensive fives with Ibaka or with Leonard and Anunoby and Wright and Lowry and Van
Vliet. By the way, we're assuming Kawhi's health is like a top.
Oh yeah, player. We should kind of give a yeah. We
is
don't
that
know.
The X factor.
Is it has health? To be right.
I guess
everybody else is already a known. Quantity. I know that. Thank you. A known quantity at this point, but Kawhi, we still have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse says that Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green guard the expletive out of people, which is true. We have a much different thought process defensively. We'll be a little bit more aggressive, really focus on creating more turnovers. They could be the best defensive team in the league for sure.
I get the.
But is he going to play?
I don't know if you saw. This is a big deal, actually, I think.
Huh?
Kawhi's best friend just got hired to the Raptors.
I saw that.
He's the video coordinator for San Antonio previously. He got hired to the Raptors partially as a recruiting pitch, just like, hey, your best friend's here, you know? I think that is crucial for Kawhi's happiness as well as long-term stability, as they call it.
And Kawhi supposedly has an open mind, was the quote in the article. Mind.
Apparently he really likes listening to Nick Nurse, talking with Nick Nurse and stuff is what I've heard too. I guess best player Kawhi, X Factor Kawhi.
Yeah, for sure.
Best young prospect.
Van Vliet.
Thank you.
Or Anunoby.
I would probably go Anunoby just because Van Vliet's a little bit older.
Yeah, he is. But he already had that RFA window. But
good. I think he's a starting level point guard.
Oh, I agree. I love the team. I look forward to seeing them defend the expletive out of Boston.
Yes.
We
have to say expletive because if we don't, then we have to make this podcast explicit.
We're not doing that. Plus, it's funny that Nick, that was what the article said, so we're just going to use it.
Yeah, I got you.
I look forward to watching them play Boston. I don't think I'm going to pick them to beat Boston, but they definitely could be a 60-win team.
Yeah.
Assuming health.
Yeah, that's the X factor. And I love the trade, the more I look back on it, for them, because they're basically saying, let's take a one-year shot at it, and if we miss, then we can blow it up next year.
Yeah.
Shall we go to our last team?
Lowry, who someone might be desperate enough. Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. The Boston Celtics, the best team in the East, the third best team, second best team, better than the Rockets in the NBA.
Third best team, I agree.
Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Al Horford.
So good.
On the bench, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, Robert Williams, and Semi Ojeleye. And that's Daniel Tyson. That's pretty good. They're incredibly deep. They have the best starting lineup in the league.
They probably have
other than the Warriors.
Five and like half another.
Yeah. They have definitely the second best starting five in the league, and I think they're more talented than Houston if they can all keep it together. We haven't really seen all these five together in the playoffs, which is what's going to be really exciting.
Yes.
I mean, I guess since Hayward was all year, we haven't seen them all five together at all.
I just want to see Hayward play basketball. I'm so excited for that.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I love the team. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And they have the best coach in the NBA.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, I agree. Probably. I think he's the best. I mean,
we should make coach rankings sometime, but it's so hard to do that.
It's hard to rank someone over Pop, but I think Pop is a little bit too old-fashioned.
Yeah. Plus, like, Steve Kerr, what is his defining talent? It's managing those personalities.
Yes.
While a lot of coaches don't have to do that as much, you know,
I mean,
like,
that's his offense, but it doesn't matter what offense you have with these players, it would be great.
You can criticize Kerr for just having great players, or you could say, well, one of the hardest parts of his job is having great players.
I don't think I think if Steve Kerr was a little bit different personality-wise, there's no way Draymond's even on the team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the way he's able to deal with someone who's incredibly critical.
Listening to Steph Curry's podcast with Bill Simmons, he just, all the times that Kerr and Draymond get in yelling matches at practice, it's crazy to think about how much, you know, disagreement goes down between those two and the personality they both have, for sure. But, yeah, Boston's going to be incredible. Best player, Kyrie?
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Is Hayward better? Is Tatum
better? Tatum,
is Horford
Hayward.
Better? Like,
Horford's
probably
Horford's
second.
That glue guy, you know?
Like, oh, yeah. Horford's the glue guy.
And it's really tough for me to look at them. Like, when you look at advanced stats and you look at the whole team, it's like Horford is clearly the best player on the team. But I think that's partly the position and the role that he has.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think I would go Kyrie. I mean, we saw that guy.
Me
light
too.
Things up for years. So.
Then the X factor, you want to go with Tatum or Brown? It's one of those two, I feel like.
Oh, man.
Or you could argue Hayward because he's just coming back.
Well, I don't know if that's I think that's kind of a known quantity. I think that Jaylen Brown is the X factor. Because I think we all are. I think we're all on the same page that Jason Tatum might be freaking good for a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, we talked about this a lot on the last podcast with the position rankings.
Right.
But Tatum averaged 16 points a game last year. It wasn't like
as
he had this incredible regular season. Right.
And as like the third option.
Then in the playoffs, he was a lot better. Well, probably second or third.
Yeah. No.
But, I feel like the Tatum train has gotten going a little bit too fast in the offseason after the great postseason that they did have.
Right.
I'm not criticizing him at all, but now having
he's
to play.
Win MVP like some people have. But
having to play alongside Kyrie and Hayward now is going to make things different for him, too. So
I think he's easily an all NBA level player. That's where I would stand. You're making a face.
Top 15 player in the NBA?
Jason
at that
Tatum
position?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you're saying ceiling. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That was what that face was about. All right. Yeah. He could be, he will be up there eventually for sure. But
so
right now, he's like.
The X factor for me is how good is Jaylen Brown? Because there's so many metrics that show that he is going to be as good as Jason or Paul George at the least, Kawhi at the most.
His defense is really good.
There's a lot of advanced metrics, not even that, just like the way his jump from year one to year two is. Like, there's so many signs that show that this guy is going to be able to be an all-NBA player too.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's going to be, I think he's the. I guess that's why he's an X factor. Is like, is this something that's going to happen this year?
I would agree.
Personally, I would lean more towards yes. I'm not saying fulfilling that full potential, but more towards being able to be an NBA quality or an all NBA all star level player
for sure
this year. And I think that kind of makes or breaks their competitiveness as the second best team in the league.
Yeah. Well, you got anything else to throw in before we wrap things up?
About
an hour.
I just wanted to hit on. Team in the East that's most likely to be your surprise or like most likely to be your biggest disappointment.
Sure.
I guess it's kind of hard to predict that right away.
I like it.
But like someone you could see failing and someone you could see succeeding beyond expectations, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one to start?
I think
No, I guess the Raptors would be my candidate for biggest disappointment.
Mm-hmm. If Kawhi doesn't play that well or doesn't play at all.
Or healthy, something.
And then they lose the 7th seed or the 8th seed. Yeah, that could happen.
And I think opportunity for, like, you know, biggest surprise. Man, I think it's the Bulls. Because personally, I don't think the Bulls are close to playoff contention.
Uh-huh.
You do.
I mean, not, yeah.
But for me,
it's possible. I'm not going to call
it. I could, like, somehow, like, they could just be freaking good like they were last year and just be a 6 seed.
I think I'm going to pick Milwaukee as my biggest surprise.
Okay.
If we just have the Giannis season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he got a 2K cover. He was good last year. He's coming up on it, and I think at some point he's
going to win MVP. I hate that the narrative has already decided that him or Anthony Davis is winning MVP next year.
That's where I am, at least. I think the way the narratives go, those are the next two guys up. It's their turn. LeBron's had his chance.
I hate that Harden, too. It shouldn't be their turn. 450 guys should have a chance at this award.
I agree, but that's not how it is. I mean, it's all based on narrative. It's who the media thinks is the next guy who owned the season.
And last year, LeBron was going to win. Everyone thought LeBron was going to win until Chris Paul goes out and Harden has one of the
best. But that was in the playoffs, right?
Huh?
You mean in the regular season?
Well, Chris Paul missed 25 games first to start the season.
I thought you meant the
No.
First thought you meant the hamstring. No. Yeah, I think it.
Which, by the way, I had a nightmare about that.
I'm sorry. It all has to do with the narrative. Hardly do you see guys win it again. I mean, Westbrook averaged triple-double 2 years in a row.
It's crazy.
And no one cared the second year.
Is probably the second or third best player in the league, uh-huh, and he's only won one MVP right in the last 10 years.
MVP award is pretty flawed.
Yeah.
But yeah, then my biggest disappointment in the East. I like Toronto because the injury thing, obviously.
At first, I was gonna say the Pistons, but then I was like, well, they're gonna suck anyway.
I hate to be like this, but are we sure we should be penciling the Sixers in to be the third best team in the East already?
No, not necessarily. I think Indiana has a good chance. I think Tyreke Evans is so good.
I mean,
as like a third guy.
Embiid, before this season, everything we said about him was if he stays healthy, and I haven't really heard it since then. I think there's potential for an Embiid injury or a Simmons injury or neither of those.
Or Markel sucking.
The team can't shoot other than Redick, and the team can't really create.
They did lose a lot of shooting. Like, TLC wasn't great, but even him.
Bellinelli and
Ilyasova. Like,
I think they could be the 7th seed or the 6th seed. And I enjoy watching the Sixers, and I love the personalities on the team, so it's hard for me to be like this, but I could see them. Like, last year, it was a surprise they were the 3 seed, and this year we're penciling them in as contenders to make the finals. I think that's a little bit of a jump.
Quick Uni Watch update. Have you heard that they might be bringing back the black uniforms?
Oh, as classics?
Yeah.
I would love that.
Oh.
That would be...
That's all I had to say.
Every team should be having a classic uniform this year, I think, and you can hear that article that I'm writing on Medium.com. If you search my name, Luke... Z-Y-L-S-T-R-A on
If the Rockets were to do that, I guess I'm biased, so that's why I think thought of them first, but would it be... Oh, Orlando's doing an awesome one, and so is Charlotte. Let it be known.
Mm-hmm.
Do they go with, like, the late 90s, like, pinstripes, like the Navy pinstripes?
Team?
The Rockets. Or do they go with, like, the championship
season? I got you, with the one with the diagonal Rockets, and the little bit of yellow.
Or the Houston.
I would vote for the pinstripes.
You would?
Number in the corner. Okay. That's just me. That's just a personal preference.
The Barkley uniforms, as they call them. The mm-hmm. Scottie Pippen Barkley uniforms. By the way, Barkley was actually good.
He was.
It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to update? Like, we're talking about, I just wanted to get out for the listeners that are still there. First of all, we appreciate you. We love you. We want you to get our podcast out there so everyone can hear.
I'm not sure if people are listening all the way to the end or not. If you are, I mean, you can give us a comment. You can find us on Twitter. My account is LZYL23. Devin's is Seabreeze619, correct?
Yes.
You
can email us at...
Yeah.
At... DeBoer8@purdue.edu
and LZelstra@purdue.edu. Also, if you really want to, you can email us.
Send us questions. DM us.
We would definitely do a mailbag episode if we had enough questions. I'm not sure
if we get them
or not
to have in the bag. Right now, we can't have a bag.
We have an empty bag ready to have mail in it. If you want to give us a mailbag, follow me at both of us on Medium.com. If we write articles up there.
I haven't written an article about 6 months.
So you can just search my name, Luke Zylstra. My name is spelled in our podcast, right? In our podcast description.
Yes.
And I do write relatively regularly now that we got to college about MBA subjects. So go read that.
Just one more plug. We're on Apple. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes, mm-hmm. which is Apple. We are on Spotify.
Give us a rating and review. Cast,
rating, review, comment, click, subscribe,
also,
share.
Also, or on any of those outlets, tell Nick he should come on more because He's been very hesitant. I mean, missing.
Yeah, Nick is never in the room with us.
Uh-huh. He's not here right now. He's not going to speak. So let him know we want him. We might get some more guests. We have, as we gain popularity, we have some
Yes, and we are quickly gaining popularity.
We have acquaintances that are considering joining the podcast.
You may not know this, but in 4 weeks, we went from zero listeners to 30.
It's a lot for us. So thanks for listening.
Have live a great show. Day. I wanted to talk about the live show.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So we're thinking about, and if you're still listening to this too, now we deserve to pay you, honestly. This is impressive. But we are thinking about doing, when 2K19 comes out, a morning or afternoon, depends on our college class schedule, live show on Twitch. We'll have our faces up on the screen, and you get to watch us just play My League, you know, make GMing decisions and all that stuff. Maybe we'll do some play now here and there with it all. But, you know, just run through it, see us make our decisions, build our teams and whatnot. But then also we'll use it sort of as a podcast format too, so that we can, like, a medium, podcast medium, so we can talk.
It's a more relaxed version where we're just hanging out.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, and talking about basketball. I'm really excited about it. So is Luke. We're going to try and set it up. Hopefully it works out. But, you know, schedules are tough at college.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you're still here and you've got our contact information, contact us about any ideas you have about that. If you think it'd be really cool. How to do it, any tips or tricks or anything like that. So yeah, thanks again. This is DeDunked, this is Devin DeBoer, Luke Zalstra, and believe it or not, the stakes are high.
Oh my
thank
word.
You
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.